welcome everybody to the latest edition of the Polar Sky Podcast. We have a model American of the week.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
Let's get off the lighter side of things.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
Sammy, you got me work. They'll find a way to win a couple of games, and maybe they should.
All things sports.
And everything in between.
Polar Sky Podcast.
Now, here's the Polar Sky.
Ooh, yeah! And it's the Polar Sky Podcast, and we're back. And it's a three-man podcast here on a special Memorial Day weekend. And some exciting things going on in the podcast here. We got Hack and Pat again here. We're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk the current state of the NFL. We're going to talk the future of sports. Yes, I'm going to make predictions, and Pat and Hack are going to rip on them. Yeah. But we're going to talk about the future of sports here on the podcast today. And the obvious reference there to begin the podcast was to Randall Mario Poffo, also known as the Macho Man, Randy Savage. And I am not sponsored by Slim Jim, but if Slim Jim would like to sponsor me, I will open every podcast with an ooh yeah, and I will eat Slim Jims.
I'll even dress like Randy Savage if they want.
Hack will dress like Randy Savage if
I'll bring Tiger Strikes back.
I'll bring frisbees and stand next to him and throw frisbees in honor of his brother, the still living Leaping Lenny, or the genius
Leaping Lenny.
Leaping Lenny.
What did I say, Lenny?
Yeah, you said Lenny.
I was thinking Simpsons, and I was talking Pop.
Of Mice and Men.
What's the difference?
It's okay. First of all, before we get into really, really good stuff, last weekend was a very good weekend for the Polish Guy podcast here. I would like to thank Discover Stars and Blaster Records for an awesome golf outing last weekend, and there could be some exciting announcements on the podcast. When and what occurs, we'll of course let you know. But either way, the podcast is a 3-week lapse, basically because I went to their golf outing, and I was in no state to do a podcast the next morning. It was totally because I got some grass.
You were golfed out?
Yeah, I was golfed out. I was very tired.
Did somebody hit you with the Titleist right in the
jaw? Yeah, I couldn't talk. I was hit with a Titleist. It had nothing to do with drinking all day, eating steak, and having a lot of fun.
I've never seen you drink in your life.
And hearing good music from Todd Carrier or anything like that. It had nothing to do with that at all.
I thought maybe you just ate some good pierogies, but I guess I was
No pierogi. You know what? There needs to be more pierogies at golf outings.
Absolutely. I mean, pierogies and kielbasa.
Exactly.
You know?
I don't know. I'm in lobbying this for this. I'm actually part of the United Pierogi and Kielbasa League here in Lake County, Ohio.
Yeah.
But
you should join my foundation. It's the United Pierogi Foundation.
United what?
It's charity for pierogies.
What do we do with it?
You eat them.
You eat them, and then you move to Parma.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because Parma, if people want to know, is the pierogi capital of Cleveland.
Yes, it is.
There's a lot of Polak. I don't even know
where this is going. I don't know what I'm talking about. A lot of Slavic people in Parma.
You know where it's going? We're going to talk NBA playoffs. This is where we're going.
All right.
Pierogies and playoffs. But here we go. A couple of great things. First of all, let's start Cleveland first. Then we'll get to the NBA Finals that's starting on Tuesday. Cleveland, a lot of good rumors about Cleveland, and there's a lot of interesting ways to go about this. There is rumors out there that Cleveland is going to get the first and second picks of the draft now, and by doing so, they would eat the contract of Rip Hamilton from the Pistons. And the word is that then they would take Derek Williams and Kyrie Irving. I have some other theories about how it should go and how it should go if they stay put, but what do you guys think about Pat, what do you think about the Cavs trying to get 1-2?
It doesn't excite me at all. I think it really doesn't. I personally think that they should trade the first pick, okay, to some bottom feeder team that thinks that Kyrie Irving can change their team around.
They should trade to the Cavs?
Huh? Well, sure. Yeah. But I'm saying next year, you know what they should do? They should trade that pick for like a veteran player, okay? Pick that guy up, and from 2 years from now, okay? 2 years from now, there's going to be some great swingmen coming out of college.
Wouldn't have to be a young, proven commodity. Obviously, the Russell Westbrook stuff is going around, but personally, I don't think that's a good idea at all.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
He's not.
Sam Presti needs to come out and say, we're not trading Russell Westbrook.
It's got
to
be a team.
He's basically done.
It's got to be a team that you think in 1 or 2 years is going to suck, that we know will probably get a pretty good
pick. Well, how about a current suck? Why don't we try to get Kevin Love? Why not Kevin Love?
Well, sure,
or something like that.
I would give 1-4 and next year.
Here's the problem. Kevin Love. Here's the problem.
Really?
I would.
You love Love.
I do. I think you would be perfect.
Well, I think you give him the 4 and maybe next year's 2 for Kevin Love.
I don't know.
But
this draft does not excite me.
No, it's a horrible draft.
We have top 1-4 right now.
Is 1-2 really that much better than 1-4?
I don't think so.
And then you're going to pay out $25 million. That's the buyout.
Yeah.
That's the approximate value of the buyout.
Well, in your scenario, Pat, so they would still keep the number 4 pick then. Who would you take it for?
No, my scenario would be, here's my scenario. Get rid of both the picks. Because they're both of these guys, I don't know, both of these guys,
that's not a bad idea.
You know who's going to be the best player in this draft? It's going to be one of these Euro guys. It's going to be either like one of the guys from Lithuania or one of the guys from Turkey. I watched him.
I watched him
in the NBA workouts for their NBA draft. The NBA combine.
Now,
I watched the NBA combine.
Was he guarded by a chair like Yeeling?
I'll say this. He's big. He's thick. He's not like a. He doesn't look like a twig. Okay, he looks like he can.
He's like when he was Gander. He's 260.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah. Now,
he's only being guarded by three short lines.
Yeah, and he's being guarded by guys that will, you know.
You.
Yeah, exactly. They'll have a nosebleed in the NBA and they'll fucking be out in the door. You know, pardon my language.
Who cares?
They'll be out, but they'll be out the door in 2 years. You know? That's it. 2 years. Like Kyle Schwarber.
Earl Boykins would have been.
They'll be lucky to play 2 years.
If Earl Boykins wasn't cute, that's who you're talking about.
Well, Earl Boykins is on what? This is his 13th season in the league.
Disgusting.
13th season.
Disgusting.
You know what, though? He's back on task. And he's
are you excited about 1-2?
No.
Or would you rather 1-4?
I'm not even excited. I was excited the night we got him just because I was like, yes! We're going the...
Yes,
the
lottery's rigged.
We're lucky. We're not lucky. But then I went, this sucks. No one's in the draft.
No, that's
you know what the national reaction was? Basically, the national reaction was, yeah, we're pretty sure this is rigged, but you know what? They kind of deserve it.
Yeah. But there's no, you know what? Somebody in this draft will be good. There'll be three guys in this draft that are going to turn out to be, there'll be two or three guys that will turn out to be really, really good NBA players. Okay?
Yeah.
Are we going to get them at 1-4?
No, of course, probably going to be like late first round.
I don't know.
Or one of the Euros. I agree with you.
Of course. It would be Cleveland's luck to get the weakest draft in the last 10 years.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they have this in the last 10 years.
It's not an exciting draft
absolutely
at all.
Okay, Heck, I mean, you would rather just stay and put a 1-4 or actually get proven commodities.
Absolutely.
You would rather get proven commodities.
Get a proven commodity or like a team, or a proven veteran that a team's trying to drop that salary, okay, and then get.
So why don't you like to trade them?
Get their first.
That's what they're doing with Rip Hamilton.
Get their first. No,
yeah, but they're going to buy him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not getting
Detroit's first pick in a few years, are they?
No.
Is that what the trade? That's
no,
what I'm saying.
The trade is for the two. The trade is for the two.
Get a first round pick.
Basically, Detroit is saying we don't want to pay all this money. We will. You can do this, but you got to take Rip.
And that tells you how bad the draft is.
And here's the thing:
they're willing to give up their 8th overall. They're willing to give up a lottery pick to get rid of a guy. Yeah. Tells you how horrible this draft is.
Well, Rip. Here's the thing with Rip. We're going to take him. Are we going to buy him out?
We're going to buy him out.
We have to wait half the season, don't we?
No.
They could just take the better,
They would take the trade exception with LeBron.
Okay.
And then they could release him, and he'd be a free agent.
Okay. When do we get Miami? Don't we get a first round tender for Miami? Is
that next season? I think it's next season.
I mean, it's going to be a garbage pick. It's going to be.
It doesn't matter. We're going to get to that. But I'm going to switch it over. Amazing. We're already this. Huh? Heck, what do you think about the whole thing?
Well, I'm with everybody else. I'm not really excited for this draft. I think their best move is just to stay at 1-4. That trade in particular, that scenario that we brought up, it just doesn't seem feasible. It's just a lot of rumors that are flying around right now. At the end of the day, they're going to stay.
It's certainly feasible, but if every expert is going out there and saying beyond the top five, there's nothing out there, are you really doing that much going from 4 to 2? You're not doing much. Everyone's saying that this isn't great.
There's no reason.
And here's the other thing, and here's my opinion on this, is that I don't even like Kyrie Irving at 1. Yes, he's long and lean, but who's going to say he's not just as good as the guy from Michigan, Morris, another guy who's long and lean?
He might not even get drafted.
Morris? He's late 1-2 right
now. There's conflicting scouting reports on him. Some guys have him late 1, early 2. Some guys have him not even making a team in the NBA.
Okay, well, this is what I'm saying. If the entire draft is mediocre, and every guy who knows a lot more about this than I do is coming out and saying, this is the worst draft I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
You're not really taking risks, are you? You're just taking guys that you think are going to be the best talent, and there's not a huge need in the backcourt when you have Baron Davis still.
Sure,
And if your team sucks next year, you're going to have other guard prospects. Take a big guy. I would say, since there really is no risk, because everything sucks and everything is on the same level, take the big guy first. Take Enos Kanter 1, and then take Kemba Walker 4. Why not?
I don't think
that's going to happen either. What is the difference?
Me personally.
What is the difference?
No, me personally, if they were going to, whatever way they were going to go, I would rather them trade the first pick to somebody that wanted Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
And somehow we moved into like the 2. Or somewhat like we swap picks.
So you're saying you're going to like 2-4-11, theoretically.
Say we had 2-4. Okay.
Then there's no difference in what's already happening,
we're
right?
We're going to take Derek Williams, from Arizona.
Right.
And then I would take a stretch, and I would take, I think the guy's the power forward from Lithuania. Not the center, the power forward. That guy's supposed to...
I'm guessing his last name is...
Sivakopoulos.
Not Vasilunas, but the other one?
Yeah, not Jan Vesely. There's Jan Vesely, who's not... I don't think he's from Lithuania, but there's...
You never know. We could end up... Hey,
Jonas Valasiunas.
Yes. Or the 7th player from Lithuania, because here's the thing. We could end up with the next Arvydas Sabonis in his prime. Everyone laughs. They think, first of all, Sabonis, when he played for the Blazers, was Sabonis not very good?
He was awesome.
He was good.
He
was 4 years past his prime, and he was still one of the best. He was a top 5 center.
Yeah.
As far as overall game goes, he might have been a top 3 center.
He would have been a Hall of Famer if he would have came here in his prime.
Yeah. Because he was the ultimate what-if question.
He was a legitimate 7'2", and he was not getting pushed around by anybody.
No, he was.
And in his prime, he was athletic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was like a big...
Problem was, Lithuania was part of the Soviet Union, and he had to play, because he's a Lithuanian.
Right.
So Bonus was a Lithuanian.
Let's get to some sort of consensus.
Croatia was never part of the Soviet Union.
I know that, but I'm just saying,
before we start another holy war.
I just don't know where Sabonis is.
This is a nationality war, sir.
That's what I'm saying.
Which is usually a holy war when you talk about national. But no.
Only in America.
Only in America. Damn right.
Not really, because most Lithuanians and Croatians are, well, it depends on what part of Croatia.
Oh, okay.
Most Lithuanians are Catholic. I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah.
This is coming from a 25% Polish guy, 25% Lithuanian.
I just want everybody to know that I knew that Croatia was not part of the Soviet Union. That's all.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
All right.
That might have been the best moment of the Polish guy ever.
That's a sports bitch.
Polish guy podcast, best moment ever.
I don't like my geography challenge, okay? I came in second in the middle school geography, okay?
If you're looking at a map in front of you, what country comes to the direct left, if you're looking at a map, of Croatia?
Of Croatia?
Yes.
Would it be...
For 25 cents, Chuck.
Would it be Albania?
No, that would be to the right. And I don't think Albania is directly to the right. It'd be Slovenia.
Slovenia, okay. Well, I just knew when I got taught in school, it was just Yugoslavia. It was just one block.
Okay, all right.
Let's continue.
Back to the cast.
Sorry.
What is? Do we agree that staying pat is the best way here for them?
It's the only way. It's the only way.
I think we should just.
So there's no reason to pay $25 million for two spots, right?
No, there's not. No.
Not in this draft, right?
No, not
it's asinine.
Why take on salary?
And not just not just to play just the tip with Rip Hamilton.
It's either. Not that.
Right. I mean, it's just a total tease.
Here's the problem. We will settle. We'll become a mediocre team. We'll be above average. I shouldn't even say mediocre. We'll be middle of the pack. We'll make the. I would say if we go this route, if the route we're going...
We'll be in the East because the East is going to be so heavy one way for the next 4 or 5 years that it's still going to be the same way that 37 or 45 might make the playoffs.
We're just... Until we get a superstar, we're going to... I'm telling you.
And there's no superstar.
There's no
superstar.
Superstar-driven league. Look at the last team in the last 30 years to win a championship without one singular superstar where you go, oh my God, this guy's a superstar. Was the Pistons teams with Chauncey Billups?
That was the
last team.
Well, here's the thing.
The only team.
Who's the last team to win a title? Actually, I know the answer to this, but who's the last team to? Who's the last team to really dominate for any sort of period of time without just an athletic freak? One team. The Pistons. The Pistons. They won one title.
No.
I'm talking
about
the recent Pistons.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There was no athletic freak on that
but
team.
There was no...
They played perfect team basketball.
Absolutely.
In a down year for the sport.
All those guys were top five in their position.
The rest of the NBA champions that you have for the last 25 years,
absolutely.
There is an athletic freak. And there is not an athletic freak in this draft. This is why I make my argument. The closest you could have that is your next Arvydas Sabonis could be someone like Enes Kanter.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah.
He's the closest. But there isn't one. So why do you pay 20?
He could also be the next Nikolai Skinishvili.
Or the next Vitaly
Kuzmenko. Well, everyone's scared of Europeans not named Dirk Nowitzki. Okay. I mean, and that's a fair argument to say because the facts are out there. But look, they should stay pat, they should take the guys they want, and just let it go. Do not pay an extra $25 million for two spots.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly how it's going to play out. It's going to be 1-4,
I hope
it's going to
so.
Be Irving and Kanter.
I hope so.
That's my prediction.
I mean, it's just a crapshoot. You never know what you're getting. Look at the years that we had DeJuan Wagner. I was like this. I was one of those guys that was like, oh, Sagan job? Look at him. We could develop this guy into be a powerhouse. If he starts working out, he could be like a poor man's Shaquille O'Neal. DeJuan Wagner?
Yeah, except his coach was Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. DeJuan Wagner? Oh, yeah. He could be like the next AI, right? What's DeJuan Wagner doing now?
He's getting treated for a bladder infection.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, talk about making money for doing absolutely nothing. There's a perfect example right there. At least Jopp. I give Jopp a little bit of credit where he came out and did some things, you know?
Well, he made himself into a defensive stopper, basically.
Chris Mim. There's another one. Oh, great pick. Great pick. Trajan Langdon. Oh, what a good one.
Before we take more shots.
I just want you to talk about Brown's draft history now.
No. We don't have enough time.
Sean Thompson? My favorite pick ever, Sean Thompson? Sorry. I'd throw that one in there.
It's okay.
He's athletic.
It's okay.
Played on an 0-12.
Go ahead, Polish guy.
Eric Zaire, but whatever.
Zaire wasn't actually that bad, I didn't think.
He was terrible.
I think he
wasn't as bad as... He could have... You know what? He could have been a good third... Our good third string quarterback. They tried.
Yeah, second or third round.
What did we pick? Third round, I think we picked Zaire.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Here's real quick into football.
I don't understand.
Why do people get off like in football? Why do they get off better? Second or third round pick? Oh, this is our future. What do you mean it's your future? You don't know. You're just, this is our best player available on our draft board. This is who our guy's going to be. NBA draft. You go to the NBA draft, you should be picking the best player available like they do in football, right? But they don't do that. They just go, what do we need here? What do we do here? That's part of the problem.
That is a valid point. They don't do that.
They just go, we need a shooting guard.
Everybody thinks it's going to be a lock that Brandon Knight's going to go to Utah at 3 because they need a point guard because they got
I thought it's a lock that Jim or Fournette's going to go to them later in the round, and Utah can just go anywhere. In fact, they'd probably go 4. That's what I heard.
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Jimmer Fredette, that's a crapshoot.
Speaking of, one other PR move that would be nice for the Cavs before we go to get on to the NBA Finals here. One last thing on this. Why not take Norris Cole from Cleveland State at 52 or 54? At 54, just for some goodwill in the city.
You would have to tell him to get rid of the kid and play look. Okay?
No one has to get rid of the kid and play.
No, it's...
You and I are going to knock ankles later.
He had
you to, and I are going to knock ankles later. No, you're going to rub it.
He's had it for a year and a half. When he first got it, it was cool. Now it's a little overplayed.
We're knocking ankles.
It's overplayed. Got to get your haircut, Norris.
We're going to shove speakers in a Yugo.
Here's the problem, Norris.
That's what we're going to do.
Here's the problem.
We're going to knock ankles.
Here's the problem,
and
Norris.
And Martin Lawrence is going to yell at
They're
him.
They're worried about him physically. Can he handle being physically guarded by the NBA?
Probably not.
That's what they're worried about.
Probably not.
That's the knock on him.
But if you're trying to rebuild your team, who gives a crap about the 54th pick?
Wait, that's what I'm saying.
They could draft me with
Rich,
the 54th.
When did Cleveland State all of a sudden get a big following from the city of Cleveland? How many? You ever watch their teams? They have pictures of fans in the back of the freaking stand. Have you ever watched one of their games? In the back where the fans should be, where there should be a student section, they have a big cutout of fans. Sure.
When they beat Butler a couple of years ago, home court, they had to have stand-ins rushing court. I don't understand.
I watched the game. I remember I was watching the one game with my dad.
There was a casting call.
I watched one of the NIT games with my dad, and I go, I'm sitting there, I'm watching, I go, dang, I go, what the hell, what's going on in the back there? I go, I keep looking, I'm like, are those people? Or what's going on? My dad's looking, and he goes, no, that's a cutout.
Those are graduation pictures.
I'm like, what? And it's a section of cheering fans in the back of the hoop. And I'm like, what the heck is this? Because they can only get, they play at the Wolstein Center, and they can only get literally like 4,000 people in about a 14,000 capacity place. So they don't get it. I'm not saying that. Go clear
all right,
the state.
All right. NBA Finals.
Sure.
We all know that everyone thinks go Mavs. Obviously, the Mavs are the darlings of the NBA right now. Do they have a chance?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. They have the deepest.
Specifically, why?
Absolutely, they have the deep. They have a way deeper team than Miami. Way deeper team. You can throw out Tyson. Okay, Tyson Chandler is your starting center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring in Brendan Haywood, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's better. I'm sorry, Z. But you did leave Cleveland, buddy, and that has nothing to do with it. They're both more athletic than Z, who's their big man.
Sure.
Okay. But Z was inactive. Was it last series? Or was it the second round?
No, it was the series he was inactive. Chicago.
Was it the Chicago one?
No.
But they will react. I guarantee you, they reactivate Z.
They have to. They will for some fouls.
And Z...
There's two reasons why Z is probably going to be activated for the finals. One, they want to see if there's any way, shape, or form that Tyson Chandler is going to get some fouls. And they want to draw him away from the basket because of the way that Z can pick and pop.
Tyson Chandler will get fouls. He's notorious. That's
right.
That's the whole idea. And by the way, Eric Sapolstra, if you don't listen to the Polish Guy podcast, I just gave you something. Okay? You need to start listening, because that's going to help you win.
Guard play?
Well, here's the thing. The matchups alone, Haslam gave Nowitzki a terrible time in 06.
Yeah.
And he's going to be on him again. There's no reason to think
I think they're going to put a lot of LeBron on Nowitzki, too.
No,
go play him a little bit, but trust me, LeBron might as well be eating a hot dog and having a bag of chips, because he is not playing defense, because they're saving his fouls.
LeBron,
kick it up to another gear and start playing some defense, get aggressive, and make some plays.
But it's been smart.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been smart.
That's how you have to do it in the NBA. You give up your baskets. There's a reason the scores at the end of the game are 110 to 108.
Not that game five.
No. I'll say this. That was a that was a big defensive series.
Yep.
It really was.
Okay, well, let's look at it this way. This is why, right now, Miami is minus 160 to win the series, and they're minus 4.5 for game one. It comes down to the fact that, you know, and this is actually something Bill Simmons said, but I do have to reiterate it and agree with it, that it's, for them to win 4 out of 7 is just so easy with how much talent they have. I mean, obviously, Bosch is going to be pretty much useless in this series. He's going to be overmatched physically. He's going to be overmatched.
He'll have one game.
You know what? Miami's going to have one sick game from LeBron. They're going to have one sick game from Wade where they win those two games. And then they only have to go 2 out of 5 after that. And can Nowitzki alone overcome that? Maybe. He's been sick. But here's the point. The point is that you actually get Z in the series. You draw Chandler away from the basket. Overall, Dallas is much better in the interior.
Well,
but then the question becomes, if you're successful with the rest of that strategy, you bring some of that on the outside. And then it's going to come down to this. Who shoots better between LeBron and Wade versus Terry and Kidd? I don't think that's a contest.
But you gotta remember this. Jason Kidd is a great defensive player. Great defensive player. He's always been. That's his game.
He tries.
No, he's a
going to disagree on that. He's a guy that tries his ass off, but he gets burned a lot. I think he gets burned a lot.
Dude, you're gonna play. You play basketball, you're gonna get burned. It's a every. You know how they say DBs have to have short-term memories?
Right.
Basketball players have to have the shorter-term memories.
Especially perimeter guys.
Yeah. Absolutely. You get burned every time down.
Or unless you're Gary Payton and you just don't care. You're awesome and you talk shit anyway.
Well, yeah, you just keep talking. But
the glove.
I'm telling you, Kidd is a crafty veteran. And, hey, as far as I'm concerned, Kidd's a Hall of Famer. Okay.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no question about
38 years old, still playing at a high level, and as far as he'll probably keep playing for another 3-4 years.
He can.
He seems like the type of guy. He's keeping himself in shape. He'll just keep playing. You know?
He can.
Why not?
And who doesn't?
Could be a veteran guy. Be a backup on a team.
Who doesn't need a?
Who plays longer, Kobe or Kidd?
Kidd. I mean Kidd.
Really?
You mean are you talking about seasons or
total
seasons?
Total seasons.
Total seasons.
I'm going to say just straight age.
I say it's still Kidd.
Nah, I don't know.
Because all the knowledge in the playoffs with Kobe.
I think it's possible. I mean, he's got, I mean, it's only a couple seasons. What was Kidd?
You know what?
Freshman or sophomore?
I take it back. I said Kidd right away. I say Kobe. His ego is so big. I guarantee you, Kobe will probably play another 10 years.
Kobe handle when he's not the man anymore. That's my big
problem. That is a problem.
Well, there is.
When he's not dominant anymore.
But he's not going to have to worry. Well, he's not going to have to worry about that for apparently 4 years.
Yeah.
Because all they're going to do is run Kobe ISO. And he goes from the triangle to Kobe ISO.
Mike Brown backdoor into the best job in basketball.
I'll tell you how. It was a power move by the Buss family. The Buss family got sick of Jackson being the name over them. And they feel that they are the constructs of the Lakers and how you should understand it. And everyone, The media is guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. Most people, they want to say Phil Jackson is the man. Well, the buses got tired of it. So you get a yes sir guy like Mike Brown who's going to teach a little defense. And even though Kobe was not consulted, which this is how it can implode, because I still, if it's a 4-year deal, I got an over under on 2 years.
$18.4 million over 4 years.
Yes, but there's two other things. There's one caveat. If there's a lockout next year, they only have to pay him $1 million.
Oh, okay.
They only have to pay him $1 million. They threw that in his contract as well. So they got a yes man. They got a yes man so the Buss family can say they are the constructs again. The problem is Kobe, of course. How many years does he have left? The over-under I have is 2 years on this thing because Kobe's going to love the ISO offense. We all know that.
Sure.
But, again, Kobe won in Brian Shaw, and he was never consulted. So that's going to be burning back into him.
Yeah, strike one.
That's a bad thing.
You know what? Here's the thing, though. With Brian Shaw, I think, and I don't disagree with you with the Phil Jackson thing. You know, I mean, Phil Jackson, but he was ready to retire in his own. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
But you're right.
He could barely walk.
But the bus, they want to be the front guys or whatever, you know. But at the same time, they might have looked at it like this. Okay, we got a guy that, over a 4-year period, had the best record in basketball. Okay, winning percentage. He had a higher winning percentage than Phil Jackson. Okay? In a three-year period, a higher winning percentage than Phil Jackson, which Phil Jackson
holds
the highest winning percentage ever for a coach.
Yes, he does.
Okay? And highest percentage for a playoff record, too.
Right.
Okay? And they might have said, okay, we got a team right now that we can make some runs here. Well, what if we got Mike Brown? We were lacking
in
defense.
Didn't want any of those camps.
We were lacking in defense this year. Why don't we get Mike Brown in? And that's, you know what? But here's the thing. Mike Brown's not a stupid guy. Trust me. I was number one against Mike Brown just because I watched the way the Cavs played. Okay? And I went, well, what kind of offense are we running? What are we doing here? We had to hire an offensive coordinator. You're a head coach in the NBA. You have to hire an offensive coordinator. Okay? But here's the thing. Mike Brown's not stupid, folks. He might keep somebody on from the current staff
to run
the triangle offense.
Yeah.
And within the triangle, find defensive maneuvers to get back on defense to stop your guy. Defense, here's the reason defense is not overrated in the NBA. Because most guys do take plays off on defense. Say most guys take 70% of the plays off.
Well, look how far Chicago got with the LeBron offense, and they got that far just because Tom Thibodeau, a defensive genius from Boston, he became head coach.
Yeah.
Look how far they got with nobody but Derrick Rose when it comes to crunch time, and you got like a 40% Carlos Boozer from Boozer 3 years ago.
15%.
Boozer in my personal opinion, even when he was at the Cavs, I always thought he was overrated.
You did?
Yeah. I was pissed about the handshake deal with a blind guy.
Right.
Yes, I will sign with you, sir. And then he goes behind the guy's back, opts out of the contract, and goes sign with someone else.
So if a guy bangs a blind guy in the ass, you lose respect for him.
No, I lose respect for... I lose all respect for guys that get tattoos on their neck. Sorry for all the folks out there that wear tattoos on their neck. And I have a couple tattoos, but not on my neck. That just says hillbilly or backstabber to me.
All right, fair enough.
Sorry. I just wanted to point that out.
All right. Finals pick. What was your final pick?
Hold on. I'm going to get a scorpion tattooed on my neck.
We'll wait 3 seconds. No, what's your pick?
For the finals?
Yeah.
Who's going to win?
Yes.
First of all, there's going to be a lot of pain. And then...
Did we start with Randy Poffo and we go to Mr. T?
And then I'm going to say Dallas in 7.
And Dirk's MVP.
By 5 points in the final game. In overtime.
Mark it down, everyone. Dallas, 7 games, by 5. Go ahead.
In overtime.
Hat?
Miami in 6.
I say Miami in 6. Unfortunately, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I don't even care.
I have to make a confession.
folks, don't listen to these
guys. Wait.
Dallas in 7 by 5 in overtime last game.
By the way, I would like to say how much I'm disappointed in both of you because I have to make a confession. I'm rooting for Miami because I love chaos. I love the evil empire idea. I love how everyone hates them. So clearly, by you telling me the way you said those things, you didn't listen to the last podcast. So thanks a lot, guys.
I never said I didn't like the evil empire. Listen, if it wasn't for Darth Vader, we would have never had Star Wars. Okay?
I think you're calling George Lucas Darth Vader then.
What's that?
Because if it wasn't for George Lucas, there wouldn't be no Star Wars.
What are you talking about? Who's George Lucas?
We're off track again.
Who's George Lucas? Darth Vader?
No.
Those stories weren't real? God damn it! I'm out of here! What the hell? Ah, my goodness!
We shouldn't tell him to Google Carrie Fisher, should we?
No, it wouldn't be a good idea. We should tell him all about George Lucas's neckbeard, though, that he has.
We shouldn't tell him that the gold bikini, he would not want to see her wearing that again, right?
I think he would.
He would still want to see that?
Oh, yeah, I still want to see that. I don't want to see Carrie Fisher now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think he's back in that time. We've lost Pat. We have lost Pat, folks.
He's a big child.
It's okay.
It's fine.
All right. On to the NFL for a short time before the...
What's the NFL? Does it exist?
Well, we're not sure if it's 32 separate entities. We're not sure if it's... exempt from antitrust litigation. We're not sure of a lot of things. Technically, teams still exist, and there are players that would be employed, but right now they are 1,260 independent contractors at this point.
You just blew my mind, man.
But the one thing I want to say about the NFL, just a quick reminder to everybody, is that June 3rd is coming up. And June 3rd is where we're going to hear arguments on whether or not the lockout is legal. Basically, you're going to hear a lot of stuff about how the decertification is a sham because they did that before, and then they recertified, and now they've done it again, which is, quite frankly, a valid argument. We went over that on March 12th in the podcast when you guys were here.
Is June 3rd a Sunday?
No, it is Friday.
I was about to say Sunday, but it's
Sunday. Bloody Sunday!
But it's not, so go ahead, sir.
Have another shot. But
if it's on Monday, we can sing the Mamas and the Papas.
Monday.
Folks are having a good time. Back to the Polish guy.
I hate my life.
Oh, come on. Hey. Just remember, I bought you that pocket pierogi, so you'd be all right.
What is a
pocket pierogi? It's a portable pierogi where you just pull it in your pocket. Every once in a while, you get a little bite of pierogi. You go, no slice of it, baby. Oh, man.
Where's the
pocket pierogi?
I don't even want to ask where the horseradish comes from. But anyway, June 3rd. Okay. What we're going to have on June 3rd is we're going to hear the arguments. Now, the ruling could take 6 to 8 weeks, which means if the lockout is deemed, in short terms, illegal, that means we still don't have a hearing until mid-July, late July, early August, which coincidentally is what we mentioned on March 12th, and I said mid-October is when we'd have games, and right now it's looking like mid-October no matter what still.
What did I say?
Wait.
I don't remember what you said.
I don't remember what I said either.
Isn't it Memorial Day weekend right now?
Yes. Yeah, it's Memorial Day weekend right now.
Oh, you're throwing me off with that mid-October stuff. I just heard mid-October.
Mid-October.
I was having a flashback, folks. Sorry.
Oktoberfest 2003.
Mid-October for the game. Back to the Polish game.
Yeah. Mid-October is when I think we're going to have games again.
Really? You really think so?
I'm still saying that. And...
The
one thing that's going to see how long the players can hold out on this thing is Judge Doty listened to the final arguments on May 11th about how, actually reviewed everything on May 11th on how the funds would, on the damages for the negotiations for the TV rights that he ruled that the owners had no right on doing on behalf of the players. The thing is, they could get disbursements on that to help them stave off and fight longer. But the one thing is that's a very interesting point, is that none of us care anymore. We just want football. And Drew Brees had an interview just a couple of days ago where he's talking about how bad the deal was on March 11th. Well, no one cares, Drew. No one cares at all. And a guy as smart as Drew Brees should not be coming out on that, because the PR by the players has been horrible in the first place. First of all, you've got an interview with Ray Lewis where he's talking about how crime is going to go up, but yet somehow there's no follow-up question about, do you mean with the players, do you mean with the fans? Now, in some cases, that's probably true with the fans. Maybe it's with the players as well. None of us care. NFLPA, or whatever you are, decertified, none of us care. We just want to see football. There's a reason why the commissioner was booed. There's a reason why everyone said this. You should not be coming out and ripping on something that we already knew. On the other hand, the NFL, all of their public comments are crafted beautifully. Now, I'm not saying I agree with one or the other. In fact, I think there's a lot of concessions that the owners need to make to the players to make this a proper deal. But the plain fact is that no one should be talking about, well, the owners were planning this the whole time. Of course they were! Just like how you were excited about it when Gene Upshaw signed the other deal and a lot of the owners signed off on it without looking at it. It's a give and take. That's called a negotiation. But talking about things that already occurred, you've already had the divorce, and you're still going into court when you're deciding who gets what in the divorce. It's already been decided. You're divorced. You're not getting back together. No one cares about anything else. That's like going into that hearing where you figure out how to divide that up, and you say, well, he fucked a stewardess. No one cares. All right? Stop it. Just get back to the negotiating table and figure it out. That's all anyone cares about. There's my rant. Go, guys.
Well, I agree with that. I just think that, like, it's not... What Drew Brees is doing by opening up his mouth is he's basically taking leverage away from the players, obviously. I mean, when you're negotiating with somebody, you want to keep everything absolutely airtight. I don't want to hear shit.
Hence the gag order that was put on in April
until June the 3rd is basically what it is. Now, I do have a point about Ray Lewis, too. Now, if anybody's seen that interview with him, it was one of the most polarizing interviews of all time. It was so, like, that guy was just like...
Well, he's a preacher.
He is a preacher. Could you imagine if he was, like, an emergency room doctor? He's like, Mrs. Smith.
But he wouldn't be in an emergency room.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
You know, that's just... You know,
He's way overdone.
He stabs the guy.
Oh, that would definitely be after.
But okay. While you were talking, I had...
That never happened.
I had an epiphany.
Okay.
You threw out some dates.
Mm-hmm.
You threw out the number 11 a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You threw out March 11th.
Mm-hmm.
May 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any other 11s in there?
No. I said May or October.
And I just... You know, all seriousness aside... You went on a tangent. You're talking about some serious stuff, but the name James Taylor popped in my head. So I counted the letters in the name. It was 11. And I've pictured. This is what my mind was thinking.
What's happening in this podcast?
The two signs getting around a table, and James Taylor softly stroking a guitar, singing "You Got a Friend." Okay? Real lightly, though. Not like real loud. Just going.
I would have thought it would be Steamroller.
Just call out my name. That song?
No, You've Got a Friend.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And you know wherever I am.
Okay, is there a point to this?
I'll come
back. I just figured if somehow James Taylor got brought into the negotiations.
Sweet Baby James.
It would be pretty good. Sweet Baby James is a good song. That's a different
thing. And obviously the key
that's to not the
labor issue. Murray Smith there is...
He's the key to the labor issue is what you're saying.
Well, I just... You know what?
You know what? I'm with it.
I got it.
NFL. Bring in James Taylor.
Yes. I agree.
Bring in James Taylor.
I've seen fine. I've seen rain.
All right. We still have a segment to go. We have one last segment.
All right.
We do.
Yes.
This will be the world's quickest segment brought to you by Schlitz.
It's actually Blatz, but...
Duff.
Duff. Duff beer.
I thought it was by Schlitz. Hey, when you bring me stuff, Jimmy, make sure it says the right material.
Would you stop yelling at the fake intern?
All right. Fake intern is an asshole.
He really is. He's a total douche. He's never going to make it in the real world.
He once brought me coffee without cream.
What a douche.
Yeah.
Well, that you know, he probably brought you my coffee, because I drink coffee like a man with no cream. So. Well, I'm not a Sally Jesse Raphael. I drink coffee black, just like I like
with
my lady.
With sugar in it?
You just told all our constituents about my big grandma red glasses, and I'm a little upset. I'm a little upset.
We talk about serious stuff.
Back to the last segment, folks.
Last segment. Good stuff here. We don't like to make a lot of predictions far into the future, but I am going to make predictions of the future. And
for
sports. And, of course, football is the most important one. Now,
how many years into the future are we talking, Rich?
Roughly 10. Roughly 10.
Okay.
Roughly 10. Baseball. I'm going to start with baseball. Football is the most polarizing and where I have the most points. Baseball, very few things are actually going to happen because baseball hasn't changed in 140 years. So, since that hasn't really changed in 140 years, there's going to be a couple of things that are going to happen. Eventually, Bud Selig, Trader Bud, as you know, I like to know, rip on him, eventually he will leave. And he will stop being commissioner. And baseball will be better for it. One of the good things that basketball does is that they allow all their videos onto YouTube. They don't care. They, in fact, promote all their videos to be everywhere.
You don't think Bud Selig would be cryogenically frozen and come back in, like, 30 years from now?
I will chop his head off at the cryogenic... I will go to the facility and chop his head off.
Him and Ted Williams would be sitting right next to each other.
Sly Stallone will still be doing roids in 20 years, and we're going to go there, somehow freeze him, chop him up into little pieces, and hope he doesn't turn into Ray Liotta. Okay? But, in general, there's two very important things that they're going to have to do. And they will do as soon as they get some new blood in the commissioner's office. And they will stop this bullshit about protecting their video so vehemently. People cannot watch videos 2 days after they happen unless you watch them from MLB.com. And that is not called modern society. But who knows, you know, this guy was still selling Chevy Novas in 1973. So, you know, why not change now? Because he would love to be a purist. Well, he's an idiot. And I'll go off again once it becomes All-Star break in about a month and a half, and I'll talk about instant replay. But in general, someone smart will get in there. Baseball will change YouTube and TV rights. It doesn't have to be that hard. That's going to be one of the things that they're going to do about dealing with getting young fans, because they don't have young fans, and that's the biggest problem with baseball. One of the things to do that would be to let your videos be available on YouTube, because young fans go to YouTube. Other than that, baseball won't change because it hasn't changed in 140 years.
That's in 10 years.
In 10 years.
You want to hear what I think in 10 years is going to happen to baseball?
Sure.
Real quick.
Yeah, we got three sports to go.
We will take out the first five rows of the stands around baseball, and chicken wire will go around.
So we're going to go back to 1910.
There'll be chicken wire all around the field. Okay?
I look where this is heading.
This is interesting.
And in the stands, the wall will be playing nonstop in the stands. Nonstop, they'll just keep playing the wall over and over and over again. Okay? And
so
that's my prediction.
Younger stoners.
The game will not change, but the stands will change dramatically.
The stands will change dramatically.
What do you think, Mike?
I like it.
Let's go basketball. I can't possibly follow that.
Basketball is the most up in the
apparently
air.
Nobody cares what I...
I just called you by your God-given name, by hat.
Do you want to add anything to baseball?
Not now.
No,
let's move on.
Let's go to basketball. I think this is the most up in the air. Because what's basketball is probably going to have a lockout because, unlike football, teams are actually losing money in basketball. And the problem is that there is so much soft cap and there's so much exceptions to everything that is going on. And it's going to be very interesting to see how the teams go when there's probably going to be a hard cap now. The funny thing about this whole thing is they're going to lose part of the season, and they're probably going to have a salary structure that's sort of similar to hockey. There's probably going to be a salary floor, a cap floor, and a cap ceiling, which might be, even though Gary Bettman was the mole that David Stern put into hockey, destroy hockey so basketball can get ahead of hockey, now hockey might get ahead of basketball, and basketball might take on the same salary structure.
Wow.
How about that?
Like, very well could happen.
I mean, basketball is up in the air, not on the game on the floor. Obviously, Bettman, and here's the worst thing about Stern on this is that the last thing he wants on his resume as he goes out is to have a lockout. But that very well could be what's going to happen.
Well, I don't think Stern really cares at this point. I think his main concern...
No, he has been on record talking about his own legacy, and the last thing he wants is something like this. He wants to leave the game pristine. He wants to leave the game like a shiny diamond.
Well, how many years into the future is this?
Of course he does, but the main
thing... When you guys are done, I want to tell you my prediction.
He wants to make money. That's bottom line number one.
But they're not doing that now.
No, they're not doing that now. And I don't even know
they're if... They're not as much as they should.
I don't know if a lockout's even going to solve that, to be honest with you.
Well, it's going to take
like a 10-second shot clock and like the three-point line to basically be a half-court line now.
Do you want to hear my prediction?
Mm-hmm.
10 years from now?
Mm-hmm. I want to hear this.
The Akron Goodyear Company will come up with a giant barge. Games will be played on the Dead Sea. In front of Turkish millionaires wearing trench coats. That's all I can think of for the future for basketball. Anything else, it's a blur.
All right, I like it.
I think that will happen.
Hockey, basically, Bettman's revenge is all I've got for hockey. Where the way it should go is, and I said this on the last podcast, the way hockey should go is that basically you should have a lot more Canadian teams and less American teams. Forget California, forget Florida, forget all those warm weather climates. Hockey is a niche sport in the first place. Enjoy it. But that's probably not going to happen. Basically because there's not enough cities to actually support a team Canada.
Winnipeg's getting a team back, right?
You know what I probably think for hockey? This isn't as extreme. 10 years from now, right?
Yep.
All hockey would become field hockey.
No.
Pretty extreme, actually.
That's very extreme.
I know. That's my prediction. That's my prediction.
If that's not extreme to you, I want to know what extreme is.
Ice will not be known to us anymore.
Frozen water will not exist.
We will not have the technology to freeze water anymore.
All right, let's get on to football.
Football! This is the greatest one.
All right, I got a lot of steps to this. Let's say
a lot of notes there, Polish game.
Let's say that the players.
I'm gonna need a far hop for this one, Hack.
Let's say the players fight on for a little while. And even if there is an agreement made, there is a lawsuit which has a lot of the big-name players involved in the lawsuit. And that lawsuit is an attack on a lot of antitrust laws, specifically all the things that we take for granted, like the draft, salary cap, those sorts of things. If they win, if they fight through this, if they do not come to an agreement quickly, well, that's a big thing, because if you have no salary cap, then most of the times you do not, except for hockey, which is very interesting, you have no salary floor. So all these players that are in the NFL now that are going to reap benefits, you're going to have to remember that you're going to have guys now making Arena League salaries just to make up for how much extra the free agents are going to get paid at this point. A salary cap is sort of a control on salary, fair or not, but you know what? The best players in the game still make $20 million a year. Not too bad. But if you take that away, you're going to start having a lot of haves and have-nots. You're going to have Dan Snyder. You're going to have Jerry Jones. You're going to have all those guys, which is kind of fun because they all are in the same division. And it's kind of funny how that happens in baseball now.
Right.
But yet, now you might have it in the NFC.
Hey, I like the owner of the Cleveland as Lerner.
Well, I'm saying.
He's not that bad.
He's not terrible.
No, that's not a bad. That's not a bad guy.
The checkbook.
Hey, I mean he.
But you're going to have haves and have-nots. Taking that those little rules that they could probably win at in court, and
sure,
if they push it the whole way, that is what you could have. You could have football turning into baseball.
You could ruin the league, and they'll ruin it. They'll ruin it.
Well, there's another big thing going on that people aren't talking about enough. We want to talk about all this. We want to talk about all the minutia, all the little things that are going on in the sport. But the biggest thing I think that's going on in the sport is how are you going to make up for all the medical benefits that retired players are going to decide that it's going to be a rule that they deserve. And the key to this is this thing, CTE. Basically deterioration of the brain, very similar to Alzheimer's, but it's in all these brains that they're researching now. What's going to eventually happen with that is that now you're going to be paying a bunch of money for guys, but you're going to pay a bunch of money with guys without the salary cap or the salary floor. You're going to pay money for guys who now have play limits, which is not something that people are talking about at all. Play limits is a scary future of the NFL of how it is structured now. Now, obviously, a smart businessman isn't going to overpay for guys who are on play limits. So even if you're a quarterback making $23 million a year, and now under the new structure you're making $30 million, but now you're still probably only going to get paid back to that 23, because they know as soon as you get hit in the head in the game, you have to sit out the next game guaranteed per new league rules. And then they have to take a CTE scan. They cannot.
But you're not losing your game salary. You're just saying there's more money being taken out of your direct salary.
What I'm saying is that
as soon as you have
play limits involved, You've said that they are not exempt from antitrust. And the idea is to get better salaries for everyone. But unfortunately, it only goes to the stars. But eventually, if you have play limits, a smart businessman never gives the same money that you were expecting, because he knows he's not going to get 100% in playing time because of the play limits. So now, the top salaries come back down to where they are now, and the little guy is completely effed. The little guy who's making $310,000 a year right now, guaranteed.
Well, that's
now he's making Arena League salary.
That's
which,
for 3 years, though.
Yeah.
Right now, as it is currently set up.
But it won't be set up that way if they win in court. If they win this case. If they win these type of things, that won't exist. So what you eventually have is top players make same money as they are now because of the new rules, because of the play limits, because of CTE, because this will be proven. This will be proven medically. You know, one thing is a coincidence, two things is a trend, three things is fact. And what they have so far is about an 80-some percent success rate on these brains.
Don't you think that the helmet technology is going to have to get better?
I'd rather see that everyone's going to be walking around with these big mouths on their head.
That's basically what it's going to happen.
Everyone will look like Mark Kelso.
Yes.
It's going to be giant heads.
But
bobbleheads.
But the bobbleheads won't have much entertainment value as much as they do on TV. So what's going to happen then?
I don't think it's going to matter because I would rather see that than play limits, to be honest with you.
I don't think you're going to be able to avoid play limits. How are you not going to be saying...
I'm sure they're working
on it. Concussions cannot be avoided. No matter how good you get, when you have human cannonballs running at each other, you're not going to avoid it. Because the other thing that's coming out about CTE and all this type of stuff, it's not just the big hits. It's the conglomeration of the tiny hits. It's the thousands and thousands of little things that happen. Those cannot be prevented.
Listen, here's the thing.
You'll have non-contact practices. You'll have non-contact practices.
Football is a... I'm not talking about that.
You
are risking...
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the product on the field.
These guys are risking themselves for a lot of money. A lot of money. And here's the thing. They have to... You're right. These medical... It's going to keep showing, like, this does this, this CTE, all this stuff keeps coming up, right? Guess what? For a guy that just came out of college to make $310,000 a year...
I'm not saying the players need to stop.
Folks out there, if you're a professional athlete and you're a big enough dumbass to think that you actually make $310,000 a year to work a job, you sign off. You sign a contract where you go, you know what, I am aware of this risk. Yes, this is a physical game and a violent game, but you know what? I'm willing to take that risk in my prime as an athlete to do this.
But that's not my argument.
The players, they should come to the conclusion with, they should say, we will sign off on this, and this is what
they're
going to
sign off on, not giving themselves benefits in the future, which are going to take out of the profits of the league, which is something that legally they're going to win in court on that. It's going to be like asbestos. It's going to be something like that. There is going to be a big thing. It's going to be some asshole like Travis Prentice doing it.
Sure.
It's going to be something like that. It's going to happen. But here's the thing that I'm scared of about football. Just because it's perfect on TV doesn't mean it's going to be king of the world forever. And when you have these sequence of events happening, and here's the thing, you can argue with me about whether or not they're going to push the whole thing through the court. Fine, they might not. They might not do that at all. And I'll tell you, that's fine. But what you can't avoid is the play limits. What you can't avoid is the fact that they're going to find out that all these little hits are going to add up to something. And what that's going to eventually mean is non-contact practices, less practices themselves. It means sloppier football. It means more football that's going to look like preseason football. What's going to be the reaction to that? Well, the NFL becoming more corporate and pricing out Joe average fan, they're going to want it the most entertaining as possible, which means even more rules favoring the offense. So are we eventually going to be able to tune in looking at 22, are we going to enjoy tuning in, looking at 22 Mark Kelsos, looking at 50, 45 games every day, and knowing that the little guy is screwed in the end?
This is 10 years.
That is the 10 years.
This is 10 years from now.
10 years. If
10,
it
years,
goes,
or, 10 years
10 years from now, 10
years
if it
from
goes
now,
to
I will
where
not
it's
watch,
going.
I will not be watching football.
Right.
That's what I...
So who wins? MMA.
Nobody wins. MMA wins.
MMA.
The sport of the 20... Odds, right?
Yeah.
That's the sport of the future.
Baseball is going to be mostly stagnant, except for the guy that steps in and gets some of the young fans there. Hockey is going to be stagnant.
No, football.
Basketball is going to be taken over by something else or stay the same.
Well, it's going to be on a barge
and football is going to go lower, and then you're going to see...
Absolutely.
Nice.
No.
Nice.
Absolutely, but... No, I agree 100%.
This can be prevented.
If you take away the physical nature of football, I will turn it off. I do not care about touchdowns. I want to see guys getting smacked in the fucking head. That's what I want to watch.
Well, that's fine, but you're probably not going to be allowed to see that.
I know, and that's why I'm not going to.
That's why we're going to watch it.
And that's why I'm not going to watch it anymore because I like gladiator type sports.
Right?
People like violence. I like violence.
Absolutely.
Do you like violence?
Yes.
I like violence.
Yes. Controlled violence.
These are...
Yes.
These
not,
are
not
I don't like
all-out
assholes pulling out a gun or doing something
stupid.
No,
well, of course not.
But I do like violence.
I'm not going to tune in to the recent Bloods Crips gang fight.
Right. It's on 8:30. Let's go.
On 8:30. One side is Uzi's, the other has shotguns.
We're here. We're filming the Crips and Bloods. I can't believe no one's made a reality show about that.
I gave you. Of the sequence of events that I gave you, how much can you really refute?
Not a lot, to be honest with you.
Guys in trench coats,
that's scary, isn't it?
It is scary.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because football's just going to get watered down. It's going to be basically a
It's
going to
become flag fucking football, and it's going to be sad. And it's going to...
It can be prevented. It can be prevented, just like anything else. But
in the year 2021...
We got people talking about, they told us this on March 11th. But they're not telling you about the real future. They're not. No one's telling you about the real future. That is the real future, and it's scary. Model American, everyone.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna throw the 11s out again. But go ahead.
The 11s.
Just remember the 11s.
The 11s.
11-11.
We're just talking about football. 11 on each side.
That's right.
It's a numerology.
All right. Model American.
Number 21.
We do not believe in what the Mayans say, for the record.
Oh, I'm partying December 2012. I'm partying.
No, it's
December 21st, but the 20th.
No, it's
I'm
the 23rd.
It's the 21st.
It's the 23rd.
It's the 21st.
It's December 23rd,
2012. Model American of the Week.
I'm sorry. Different argument. Go, Polish guy.
You know what? I don't even know the answer to that one. I would love to give the
answer.
It's
the 23rd. It's December 23rd, 2012. Oh, my God. It's the day before freaking Christmas Eve. Absolutely. Look it up.
Second best thing that's ever happened.
Anyway, after bullshit.
So
look at whatever. Anyway, no.
The only shows on the Xbox or the Apocalypse.
Alright, go.
I don't know. Four?
More than that.
Okay.
Listen. Maybe shit's going to start on the 21st, but the world's supposed to end by the 23rd. So
you're not.
Go right ahead.
It's the 21st.
No, it's not.
We're never,
go ahead.
Who's the Model American?
We're never doing a three-man pod again.
Why not? This is pretty good, I thought.
Actually, it is pretty good.
All right.
I'm having a good time.
Model American of the Week is pretty much the entire... and I actually love the name on this, which made it even better. A season ticket holder to the Tampa Bay Rays was kicked out of the game on May 16th. The reason he was kicked out of a game... was because he was wearing a Yankees suck shirt. He was given the option of taking off the shirt, buying another shirt, turning it inside out. He was there with his son. They were using four of his seven seats of his season ticket holder, of his season tickets. This guy pays $20,000 a year to the Tampa Bay Rays. They kicked him out of a game because he wore a shirt that said Yankees suck.
Who got him? The Gestapo?
No. And you guys are going to love this. No, it actually was just one of the representatives in the stadium, which I do not have the name of.
Was it a Christian group?
No. No.
Wasn't the Gestapo. Wasn't an extreme Christian group. Who was it? My God!
It was Tampa Bay Rays security.
Whoa. My God. Let's go to Tampa right now. Well, you know, Florida. I can't. I have a hard.
They're a little weird down there.
It was probably a hardcore Christian. Sorry, you hardcore Christians out there.
No,
I don't have a problem with hardcore Christians.
A security guard came to him and said that your shirt was deemed offensive by the terms of by Major League Baseball, is what he said. The quote is right here in the article.
Well, it's because of the rhyming pattern. Sucks rhymes with fucks. What's the deal?
No, the shirt actually says...
Ducks and bucks?
It actually just says, Yankees suck.
Yankees suck, yeah.
That's it, right there. There's the folder, right there.
Maybe they think yanking your chain and sucking, they're connotating the two together.
You know what?
I'm going pretty deep on that.
I just think that...
I think they're getting a little too conservative in the stance. That's what's going on.
Well, I'm gonna
correct this strikes again. Basically,
I'm gonna tell this. And
the Yankees have that much pull.
I'm not for burning books.
Bad Yankee shirt.
I'm not for. I'm not for holding back on speech.
Not because
folks.
They go to Boston, and Boston, their shirts in Fenway Park are all how much the Yankees suck, and it's usually Yank the Fuckies.
Is right. Is Boston not where the Tea Party was?
I don't know where you're going with this.
Let me finish my thought. Boston people are generally pretty liberal people, which are pretty, I'm just saying, they don't get offended about stupid stuff like that. That's what I'm saying.
Sure. Well, here's the thing, is that I've got a little message to the Tampa Bay Rays. By the way, the guy from the Tampa Bay Rays, I love this, by the way. The guy from the Tampa Bay Rays, who was asked to comment on the story, basically said nothing at all. His name was Rick Vaughn.
Nice.
Ring on.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'd say we close the show on Wild Thing. If you got it.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
And could it be just a security guard taking his job way too seriously?
No. No, because the Rick Vaughn supported what the team did.
Oh.
Was he Vaughn, Rick Vaughn, or just Rick Vaughn?
Just Rick Vaughn.
Oh, okay.
Rick Vaughn. Right. Here's what I have to say about Tampa, to the entire team of the Tampa Bay Rays. I was at a game against the Angels, 6 games of the season this year, and I said terrible, terrible, terrible things to people on the field. I said terrible things to Angels players. I said terrible things to Manny Ramirez. This did not get me kicked out of the park. I said words much worse than suck. I just didn't have them on a T-shirt. Guess what? You should have kicked me out. You guys are morons. A guy is paying you $20,000 a year. His freedom of speech in your ballpark should at least go beyond the word suck. And you should have kicked me out. In fact, I think there was little people around me when I said terrible, terrible things about Manny Ramirez and female growth, whatever. I don't even know what he took. But I did much worse things verbally around a lot of people, and no one had to look at my shirt to do it and listen to it. And you kicked a guy out who pays you $20,000 a year. I paid you $60,000, and I did much worse. So, thank you, Tampa Bay Rays. You are the model America.
True story.
Yes.
I had sex with a girl in the stands watching a Tampa Bay Rays game. It's a true story. I didn't get kicked out.
You didn't get kicked out?
I didn't.
Did you use a word worse than suck while you were fucking?
No, she did.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just say this. I'm proud to be an American. At least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died that gave that earth to me. And I'll probably stand up.
Next to me?
Next to you.
Next to me.
And for the day. Because I'm proud to be an American.
God bless this land.
USA.
God bless this land. And on this Memorial Day weekend.
That was to you, Lee Greenwood.
And on this Memorial Day weekend, we like to announce.
I'm proud to be an American.
Well, at least I know I'm free. And we like to tell you on this Memorial Day weekend how much the Tampa Bay Rays don't think you should celebrate it. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. We'll be back again, and Pat Hack and I will be back on a podcast in the near future. It's going to be a tribute of wrestling, and we might just hear the name Randy Poffo again. Thank you again for listening. Have a great night.